Well, hi, everybody. Larry Jacobs here on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. With my cold and my scratchy voice, bear with me, and I'll shut off the mic whenever I have to cough. So hopefully it won't be a problem. 28 inches of snow yesterday fell on Little Cornish, Maine. 28 inches, that's the official title. Looks like the Antarctic out there today. And we're supposed to get another one next week. Isn't this fun? Welcome to springtime next week. What can I tell you? Now, we got Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio today with a big thank you to my good friends over at NAESP, the National Association of Elementary School Principals, who took the time to introduce us to my guest today, Jane Best, Dr. Best, okay, who's the executive director of the Arts Education Partnership. And we're going to talk about how important the arts is and how we can't forget it. I know we put that A in STEM and make it STEAM, but it's going to be a little deeper than that. So we're going to talk about it quite a bit. Today, we're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org, tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio, and you can friend us on Facebook at EduTalkRadio as well. We'll put a link up there to every show. Without further ado, the one and only Dr. Jane Best calling from Colorado. Hi, Jane. It's Larry.
Hi, Larry. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm just fine, except for my little scratchy voice and this cold that won't go away. And the 28 inches of snow yesterday didn't help. 28 inches.
Yeah, I'm sitting in Denver, Colorado, looking out on 70 degrees and sunny. I'm sorry to make you jealous. So.
Well, that's all right, because that concludes our interview. Thank you, Jane, for being here today. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah, it's really just amazing. AEP, I think it's aep-arts.org, right? That's the website?
That's correct.
Yeah. And let me
That's
read
correct.
This so everybody gets it. And by the way, a shout out to Earl over at Earl Franks at NAESP, who's partnering with the Arts Education Partnership. They work together with them, and he introduced me to Jane. So thank you. Thank you, Earl. Okay. The Arts Education Partnership's a national collaborative made up of 100-plus organizations, I'm reading this, obviously, who share the mission of arts, being part of a child's well-rounded education, hello, and dedicated to elevating its importance through research, policy, practice, and getting schools to make sure they include it. I just added that last part. Their partner organizations are JFK Center for the Performing Arts, the Hewlett Foundation, Lincoln Center, and, of course, NAESP, plus I'm sure many others. Jane, when you say arts education, what do you mean? What are we talking about? That little A in STEAM?
Well, sometimes, and in light of the current trends, yes, we are hearing people talk about that little A in STEAM, but we are talking about not just visual arts, but also theater, dance, and music.
Right.
All those opportunities in classrooms and in after-school programs to make sure kids are getting access to that.
And I love theater. And take all those things. How are they doing right now in schools? What's your take on it?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, our exposure is to the 100-plus organizations that are really championing for these efforts and talking about the impact they're making in kids' lives and in classrooms. But in terms of how they're doing, you know, it's an interesting time right now to talk about the arts, because we have this intersection of a federal law that was passed in December of 2015, the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act,
yep,
which is called the Every Student Succeeds Act today, which brought great opportunities for the arts to be included and authorized and appropriated. But at the same time, we're in an intersection where we're facing a lot of noise around the notion of zeroing out the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Institute for Humanities. And so we have to make the case for why arts matter.
How do you make that case? Who do you talk to?
Well, we get great opportunity to tap the rich information and impact stories of the 100-plus partners of the Arts Education Partnership. But AEP itself, I say AEP is a short version of Arts Education Partnership, we're housed,
yeah,
in a nonpartisan policy organization that has access and provides nonpartisan great research and policy information to all education stakeholders, and that organization is Education Commission of the States. They are the holder of the National Center called the Arts Education Partnership.
Cool. So where are they on this? As you talk to your umbrella organization, are they feeling good about things or bad about things?
Well, I think, you know, so far everybody's feeling pretty good about things. They go
good.
And, you know,
good.
As I mentioned, I'm nonpartisan, but we have a fair amount of advocacy organizations that seek our information, and we're in the throes of a week where Americans for the Arts are on Capitol Hill messaging the importance
good.
Of the arts and talking about how it's also an economic driver and brings billions, $764+ billion into the GDP. And so we think our messaging is going quite well.
That's good. And, you know, were you in the arts? I have to ask you that. I was in theater a little bit.
Yeah, that's
it.
A good question. This is a topic that's near and dear to me because I grew up in a small town called Elkhart, Indiana, about an hour and a half
RV
east of Chicago.
Of
and it is, many people associated that as the RV capital of America, but at the time of my childhood, there was also 60 music manufacturers. So it was also the world's capital of music manufacturing. So I had a very idyllic childhood where many famous musicians came to consult and work with the music industry, and it's very much the fiber of my being and played an instrumental role in why I'm passionate about this work.
Well, you should be passionate about this work because it rounds out a student, okay? And it rounds out everybody. And, you know, you talk about the economic drivers. When the folks go up to Capitol Hill and talk, and arts are always tough to push because people don't get it in terms of all the other things we have to teach. Deep down, what's the real, real reason we need to teach this? Why do school districts and school boards got to make sure they allocate money for this? What's the deep reason?
Well, I would say, you know, everybody is often caught up in the mindset of let's prepare our kids early. And there is a strong, strong research base on how from very early childhood on, how critical music and the arts is to enhancing fine motor skills and brain development and fostering working memory and critical thinking. And then as we get into dealing with disadvantaged youth in the middle school and high school levels, we see strong research that points to kids are more apt to stay in school and not drop out if they're having positive arts experiences in and out of the classroom.
And I couldn't agree more. I saw a thing on PBS probably a month ago now about a gentleman in Philadelphia, my hometown by coincidence, who is working with underprivileged kids who don't have arts in their school. And he's created a music program for them, and those kids are doing much, much, much better in school. Okay? What you're saying is absolutely correct. All the research proves, okay, that arts education works to stabilize a kid. I remember on that HBO show, just to be anecdotal, in Treme, okay, down in Louisiana, okay, how they worked with the kids. And my son used to live in New Orleans, and I used to go to Mardi Gras, and I would watch these incredible kids, the marching bands, go by. These kids are wonderful musicians, okay? And yet the schools were failing, and I was thinking to myself, here they got these kids so interested in music. Music is mathematics. Explain to me how that is a disconnect. That's what I would say to myself, because I know that if the schools take the time to move the arts into academia like they should, it's going to be that much better for absolutely everybody, without question. What's the top art out there that when people say arts, okay, well, are they talking about visual arts? Is that what kind of comes to mind for everybody, Jane?
Well, it depends because, as you know, we've talked about the 100-plus organizations. I have a pretty equal distribution across the visual arts, theater, dance, and music. That being said, you know, the music industry itself has such a wide array of other issues, whether it be copyright or artistic talent, representation. There's a lot of energy around just the juice behind the music industry. But that, you know, when you have 100 plus organizations that are all passionate about their respective discipline, I don't really play favorites. I'm nonpartisan in my politics as well as across the arts disciplines.
Well, I didn't mean it that you should be, but I meant research-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the
you
strong
know,
research base? So,
yeah,
okay,
I mean,
that's very good.
Let me give you an example. If a school district has X amount of dollars, okay,
right.
And you have visual arts, you know, photography, drawing, oil painting, you have dance, you have music, whatever the case may be, theater. Academically, if this is even possible to answer, if they have to cut, what should they save? What's the key? And I know you're nonpartisan. I don't mean it like that.
Right.
I don't mean it to get. But what's the research say?
Well, when you're talking about budget cuts and you're talking about when you're going to do the intervention of putting arts in a kid's life. At the early childhood level, a lot of times it's going to be with respect to music and potentially theater and dance, because we also know, you know, as we've talked about music enhancing, music education enhancing working memory and things like that, you could say the same for theater and dance with teaching kids counting and mathematics through movement. And there's strong research out there of great theater groups that are going into early childhood. So that really is going to come down to the discretion of what a good teacher looks like, because you could put a really bad music or theater teacher into an early childhood experience and it not be great. On the other hand, if they have a great visual arts experience because of the teacher, that's going to be what the impact driver is, because we know teaching quality is the number one factor in student achievement. So rather than me staking a claim on what the arts disciplined investment should be, it really should be who's able to deliver and enhance this kid.
Yeah, it is just also important to put this together.
Right.
The school districts, they have to deal with this all the time. And I have to ask you, suppose they want to, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, are there enough, I'll say theater educators, music educators, dance educators out there to fill the need that we have?
Well, I would say it depends on the school district, and it depends on the support they're getting from the school and the system. One reason why, you know, Earl Franks and I have a very strong relationship is, as a school leader and as an organization that represents a bunch of school leaders, he's a critical constituency for me to make sure that this is in school. Then the next stage is make sure we have the teachers and the teaching artists who can supply that, because a lot of times arts is so low on the totem pole. We see educators who are having to have their office out of the trunk of their car, and they're driving around to school district to cobble together a job.
They push the cart with all their
supplies. Exactly.
It's not good. It's not good. And by the way, I need to mention Earl was a music teacher, okay, and was
he was
director. Yeah, so,
and he is a terrific champion
the
of the arts. That's correct. So.
Well, he's got to be, and you know, it's really important. I know you're working with NAESP, Earl's Group, as elementary school principals, okay? Are you also working with NASSP, the secondary school principals?
We are, and that is an important constituency as well. We work hard to represent and engage with both the arts organizations as well as the education organizations, because this work cannot be siloed. We need these two communities to come together on this issue.
Oh, without question. It's just amazing out there. What about school boards? How influential are they in arts education?
Hugely, hugely influential. And, you know, in light of education being such a local issue, you have hit on a constituency that we really, and I was just in D.C. 2 weeks ago meeting with the National School Boards Association, and I've been on their program at their national meetings, because this is a topic that school boards and parents usually have strong affinity for.
Yeah, it's just, and you know, that's an interesting point. okay, what you just said. Most people, parents, let me say it that way, want their children to be involved in the arts. They want to open the arts to the children, all right? And yet, for some stupid reason, although, you know, schools represent the community, but when it comes to budget time, that's one of the first things to cut. You ask any parent, they want to go to the school play. They want their kid to be involved. Am I right? I mean, it's a priority.
Yeah, you're
right.
You're right, and obviously that's why we really try to engage with parents as best possible to champion for ongoing funding and opportunities in arts education. But, you know, in times of limited resources, people focus on math and science and English, and we understand that, but that has been part of the excitement around the opportunities within the various funding titles of the Every Student Succeeds Act is we're working hard to present examples and to educate the arts community on how to work alongside a math teacher or work alongside a science teacher distribute funding that way so that arts is being used to teach math and science and so on and so on. And therefore, it's not necessarily somebody's losing, one program's losing money over another, but efficiencies are being installed.
That's actually pretty good, isn't it? I mean, they're really putting the arts into, if I may, STEM. And by the way, my old discipline suffers from the same thing that arts education done. It was social studies. Okay.
Oh, yeah,
civics.
Absolutely. Civics and social studies equally
important. And by the way, arts are a specific part of the social studies education, I have to say. And, you know, it's been lost, and everybody's struggling to find this. But we really, and what you just said makes a lot of sense. You have to figure out ways to combine this in schools to make it work. In other words, social studies can't be taught really without the history of art. Okay, and theater and all that. When they do Shakespeare in English class, okay, the theater arts come in. That's history, et cetera, et cetera. It's really, it's really, really important to get this out there. I have to tell you, how are you getting the word out? What's how's that happening?
Well,
and
we're getting that the word out.
Through
the organizations and.
Yeah.
So we have a terrific communications machine at the Arts Education Partnership where we feature the work of our 100 partner organizations. We shine spotlights on, for example, the Wolf Trap Foundation goes in and does a lot of theater. You know, they're a great place to go as adults for us to go see great concerts and theater, but they also go into schools and they're working with math populations and are teaching kids how to count based on theater movement. And we're taking those real life examples and documenting them, featuring them in conferences, writing short one pagers. And when we do see these bright spots as a policy organization, we spend a lot of time trying to create governance and readiness questions for other communities, schools, and states who are interested in trying this in their own study, in their own state, community, or school. So we try to really get them to a place where they look at funding, look at where their champions are, look at who's able to really drive this work, and so they don't have to start from scratch. They can look to another bright spot across the country where this is playing out and making an impact in a kid's life.
And you make a good point, because quite honestly, everybody thinks they have to reinvent the wheel. Okay?
Exactly.
They don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel's already out there. And now we can communicate that. Okay? Schools are working on this. Curriculum directors are working on this, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I have a question. I don't know if you ever do this. There's a zillion conferences in education.
Right.
Virtually a zillion. Okay? Do you go to any of those at AEP?
I go to them, and we – We at AEP, we host, that's part of our responsibility. We host two big conferences. I'm just coming back from a state policy symposium that we host every year in D.C. where we bring the education policy community to the arts and education organizations and talk about how the arts can take advantage of policy opportunities. And then the other meeting we have every year in the fall is a big conference and convening where we feature the work of the 100-plus partner organizations through a competitive process where they submit proposals to show what they're doing, and so the partners can all learn from each other. In addition to that, the 100-plus partners have their own respective conferences as well that we all – so we are a tight-knit community that shares our successes and talks about our challenges.
When is the fall meeting? I know that the state policy meeting, which I want to talk about it more in a second, was March 10th, just this past week.
Okay. Yeah, it was just this past Saturday. The fall one will be September 12th and 13th, and it will be held in Indianapolis. We move around the country, Larry, and this year I'm choosing to go back to my home state.
Drive.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't fly. Take your RV. Help the local economy. Okay. Of Elkhart, I might add, of Elkhart. Okay, by the way, also a big boat a big boat manufacturing area.
That is true. A lot of people, and including myself, grew up on the water. And the other reason why you might have grown up in Elkhart, Indiana, is it was the home of Miles Laboratories, which is Alka-Seltzer tablets and one-a-day vitamins. And that is why I grew up there. So,
because Dad worked for Alka-Seltzer. Dad worked for Alka-Seltzer.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
And I want to thank him because I've been taking Alka-Seltzer cough and cold all week. So thank you, Dad.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Thank you, Elkhart, Indiana. I didn't know Miles was there. That's interesting. Okay. That's actually funny. I have a question to ask you about the State Policy Symposium. I work a lot with, I think, a wonderful organization, the Council of Chief State School Officers. Okay, CCSSO. And these are the 50 people and their staff that run the education in each state. And they do a lot for policy. They're the policy folks. Okay, and they try to filter it down. Do you work with CCSSO at all? Or do you know them?
Yes, absolutely. We work very closely with the Council of Chief State School Officers and, as I mentioned, Education Commission of the States, which is the parent organization to Arts Education Partnership, is also a policy organization. The only difference being CCSSO, large reach is to those 50 state superintendents and their staffs in each state department of ed. Education Commission of the States spans all education stakeholders, governor's offices, state legislatures, school boards. So we just have a wider net, but we work very closely with the Council of Chief State School Officers.
And they were just on my show yesterday, and actually it was breaking news, Jane. Carissa Miller.
Yeah, Carissa's a new president. Yeah.
She's a new executive director. She sent me a sheet, okay, as she introduced herself to me, and she was the interim. Now, as of yesterday, breaking news, Carissa's the chief executive director of CCSSO. As I talk to the chief state school officers, I know they're really concerned about arts. And I think everybody is. And I think the hook is the parents, because parents want their kids to be well-rounded. They really do. Okay? And the arts will make them better students in everything else. And I think that's just the target arrow right there, to make sure that they get it and understand it, you know? It's that simple. It really is. It's just that simple. You know? Do you agree?
I absolutely agree, and it sounds like you're an easy mark for me in making you another champion for us.
I'm not just saying that because
having to convince you at all, and I greatly appreciate that. Everybody who has a child wants to expose their kids.
Who do you have to convince? Wait a minute. When you go in to talk about the arts, that's a great point. Okay, who stands up and says, I don't like the arts?
Well, it's not that I don't think anybody says they don't like the arts. I think they just, in a time of limited resources, may want other, whether it be philanthropy or businesses or other other outside forces to be supporters of funding the arts. So rarely do I get anyone who says I don't like the arts. They're just, I mean, the buzz in the world is around science, technology, engineering, and math, and we know that there has been such a shortage in STEM people interested in STEM careers, particularly girls, that, you know, it's oftentimes a challenge to get people to think broader than just STEM.
Well, actually, when you think about STEM, take engineering as an example. Engineering is an art, okay, and a science.
It absolutely is.
Okay, people don't understand that. If you understand graphics and being an artist and movement and all that, you look at all this stuff with robots. Okay, they talk about robots. Robots are movement. Dance is movement. You put the two together and suddenly you have a better robot, if I may. Okay, this is so, to me, so obvious. Okay, and we have lost our way. We have lost our way. Ooh. The same thing I go with civics and social studies. We've lost our way. And as much as I like STEM, I do. I think it's important. We got to put this stuff back in there. We're supposed to create good citizens, okay? And you can't do that without arts and civics and social studies and all that sort of stuff. Can't do it.
I agree with you, but I don't know that I necessarily believe we've lost our way. I believe we haven't messaged to the right people. One of my observations in the 2 years that I have been the director of the Arts Education Partnership, I came from outside of these 100-plus organizations, and I have never met such a passionate, well-intended group of organizational leaders and their constituencies, but they all passionately speak to each other about their shared love of arts, and it's been very important and advantageous for us as policy organization to help the arts community translate out to broader group of stakeholders, and because that is how we keep everyone from maybe losing their way, as you say.
I think when I say we've lost our way, and people can say that politically these days, but I meant educationally, okay? We've made too big a shift, and I believe me, I love STEM. I do a lot of work in STEM, but we've made too big a shift to STEM, okay, at the expense of other things, okay? And I'll go back to what you said, forgetting, okay, that these things are part, okay, of what makes STEM work. STEM is there to do things for humanity. And what we're talking about are the humanities. Okay, STEM isn't there for a kid to get an A. STEM is there so that kid eventually will create something that benefits all of us. Okay, and that's the humanities. And we lose that. And, you know, take Earl, who ran the bands down in Alabama when he was there. He's now executive director of NAESP. What he was doing besides running the bands was creating a community, okay? And those kids began to understand that we're all in this together. We're going to look good if we all march in sync, so to speak, and play the right notes, all right? And that continues right over to other stuff in school. The arts are extremely important. And like I said, we lost our way. I have two questions. Of all the states, okay, and you can say this is a nonpartisan statement, which state is doing the best in arts? Do you know? Or your thoughts on it?
Well,
so
I think
the rest of them can follow.
So it depends on what you're looking for. California is doing amazing, interesting things where they're bringing lots of stakeholders around the great work. One of the things that I would draw people's attention to, and you can find this on our website, is we have a product called ArtScan that was just released last week, where we are able to highlight what provisions are, like where funding and where state law is supporting the arts. So it depends on what you're looking for with respect to the arts, where you can see what what interesting opportunities exist for the arts by just going, and you can see where you stack up next to the other states in terms of how your state is installing requirements, whether it be for early art standards or instructional requirements or high school graduation requirements, licensure. So it just depends on across the arts what you're looking for. But if you're asking for such interesting work right now, I often look to California because I believe when you have stakeholders and everything from parents to state and federal policymakers, as well as great nonprofits and foundations invested in the work, you really can make great progress.
And I'm on the chart right now. Down below me, I live in Maine. Massachusetts is doing very well. It looks like Maine's doing pretty well too. Okay,
absolutely.
It's really good. And the home state of Jane, Indiana, looks like they're doing pretty well as well.
Well, and again, they have the advantage of that great music industry, and they're championing their work.
But they lost Jane.
Oh, do they ever lose you when you're originally from a place, Larry? So.
Yeah, I mean, really, really. And because I still go for steak sandwiches. And I'm a little embarrassed about my good friends. We were talking about on CCSSO yesterday how terrific the chief school officer of South Dakota is. I'm going to have to talk to her about the arts. They don't have enough little purple dots in here. South Dakota, what's wrong with you? You're a good state. Come on, South Dakota. Okay. They don't
yeah.
have purpose. This chart is incredible. Just go to aep-arts.org and click on Art Scan, and you can pick what you want, but this connecting the states and arts education policy is really interesting. Okay.
Well, we're quite proud of it, and we generate it every year right in advance of our big meeting. And then the other two things I'd just point people to is we're also the National Clearinghouse for Rigorous Research on how arts make a difference in a kid's life and teaching. And with Arts Ed Search, you can conduct a search, whether across the disciplines, if you're just interested in music research or theater research, or if you're just interested in early childhood or high school, you can click some boxes and find out what research exists to support the importance of arts in education. And this, we find, is really helpful to communities when they're writing their own grant proposals or making their own case. And we really work to make sure we have the most empirical research out there by convening an external review panel of scholars to vet the studies before they're included in the database.
This stuff is really great. We got to go, Jane, but this was great. If you ever want to bring on a guest, come back on, okay, and bring one of
well,
the chief
state
school
my pleasure.
Officers or whoever, you know, one of your partners, bring them on.
Okay. Well, thank you, Larry, for your time.
Like
I appreciate it.
I don't sound like this. I have a cold. I don't have this squeaky little voice. I have a cold.
Well, good luck to you. I hope you feel better.
Thank you, and I hope you enjoy your 70-degree day today out there in Colorado.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Jane. Thank you very much. You
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. Bye, Jane. That's Jane Best, who runs the Arts Education Partnership, okay? And it's aep-arts.org. And this thing is worth checking out, okay? This art scan is amazing, all right? We can't not have arts in the school, okay? We can't have some poor teacher pushing a cart and then racing to the next school. That ain't the way it works. And we're going to pay the price if we don't get stuff together on this. NAESP, thank you, Earl. NASSP, everybody's concerned about this. The School Boards Association, let's make it happen. We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. My name's Larry Jacobs. That was Dr. Jane Best. Can't thank you enough for listening to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio today. Have a good one.